So was there a moment that you said, Dad, if you're doing this movie, I have to be in it?
No. Mm-hmm. I read the script about a year ago, Christmas. We were on holiday. He said to me, you know, read this, is what I'm doing next. And I said, great. I read it. I like the role of Mandy, but I never expected him to ask me to read it, and I never wanted to impose and say, oh, can I come in? It was done very professionally. My agent called me and said, you have an audition for this film? And I went, oh, okay. And I went in and I did my best, and then I went back and read more and did more stuff and more tape, and then got the role.
Were these auditions for your father? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't audition in front of him. I auditioned with the casting director on tape several times.
What's the secret to Mandy?
The tea. Well, she's not hiding her candy. That is for sure. There's nothing hidden there. I think, you know, she's just a real simple, kind of, you know, sweet, witty, kind of smart, fun gal. Local, enjoys her life, enjoys what she does, but obviously when this person comes to town, new and exciting Yankee out-of-towner city boy, she's like, ah, someone new, someone who's come in, you know, maybe something I can learn something from, or maybe someone I can help or incorporate to our town. She just acts basically, I think, as, you know, as somebody who's helpful and, you know, wants to kind of, you know, be there for this person and introduce them and, you know, to the town, and just kind of comes in and out, you know, just always there.
How do you think she fits in terms of the overall book? I mean, she's an invention, she's not in the book, and yet she seems almost part of it because of the function she's
in. What do you mean she's an
invention? I mean, she seems to be just a sort of a natural outgrowth of the book because she's so banana-like.
She's just a character, you know. I mean, they all are very different and strange and quirky, but they're all embody the town. I mean, you know, they're just all characters. I mean, really, even in real life, they're characters.
There is a real Mandy.
Yeah, her name's Nancy.
But she's very different.
She's different, yeah. I mean,
she's older,
and she was, I think, missed. Voluptuous and beautiful. I don't know. But there was something that she was, some title she had. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, she's different. I mean, you know, they just took some life, I think, and changed and stuff.
So what's it like doing a love scene with your dad in the director's chair? That's got to be a little strange.
It wasn't bad. I mean, you know, it was, I wasn't, you know, obviously John and I were giggling and it was kind of funny and we were trying to keep it light. But, you know, fortunately it was just a very mellow love scene. There was no nudity and there was no, you know, it wasn't like some wild naked scene. So it was just very, it was pretty easy. We had a good time with it. And we didn't even make the film anyway. It was just too bad, but.
Is that one of those East Indians?
No, this is a tattoo.
I'm one of those people who love Poncho. How far along is
the book?
The project.
Yeah. Basically, not too far along. I mean, I have the rights to the book, and I have a friend writing the script, and I've started to put the word out, and I myself have been doing, you know, research, and I met with Barbara Brown and with a good friend, and I've met with David, the author, several times, and basically just beginning. You know, I'm still at a stage where I'm building a career. I just finished something, and I'm starting something next week, and I'm just trying to get some stuff going and get some experience and get my resume a little built up, because it's not only something I want to star in, but I also want to produce it, which is a lot to take on. So it's going to be a little while. It's going to take me a while to get it together, and I want to be part of the script, you know. I like the book very much myself. I think it's the most valid book of her life.
Battle the Nerve and Shulman.
That was just so
trashy.
Tough. Yes. That is not the person that I intuitively feel she is, and it's not the person that anyone remembers her as. And everyone was appalled by that book. and I just think, you know, it's ridiculous. And she was...
The first of the sleeve biographies,
really.
Fill and print.
Really, I know. And then they went and used it to make films out of it, you know.
Now, would you keep the title Bombshell in view of the fact that you made a film called Bombshell?
I think so. You know, we could possibly change it. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a premature question on me because I haven't even read the script yet. So we'll see. You know, when I read the script, something else might come to me.
What are you starting
on? I'm starting a film called Isn't It Romantic? Directed by Rick Rosenthal, who did Bad Boys with Sean Penn and did Life Goes on TV. Starring Jonathan Silverman, myself, Lauren Hutton plays my mom, Kimberly Williams, some other people as well.
And Suicide is finished, right?
Suicide is finished.
At what point did you say, Dad, I think I want to be an actor?
Well, I never said that to him. I, you know, him and I have a very kind of separate relationship. I mean, we are father and daughter, and we spend time together as a family, and then I have my life and career, and he has his. And I don't really ask a lot of advice of him, and he doesn't really offer it. He's always made it very clear to me that he is there if I need it. He's very supportive of anything I do. And helpful when he can be. But I've never wanted his help. I've never wanted him to just give me anything. Never wanted to just be handed something. I've always gone out there and I've learned for myself. I'm very independent. I've struggled just like any young actress. I've had tons and tons of rejections. I was not very good at times. I was green. You know, I've done everything basically that every other actor or actress does. Just because I am his daughter doesn't make it any easier.
So has it ever made it more difficult?
Yeah, it has been. It has been a hindrance in a way, in some sense, because if I have a bad day or a bad audition or something doesn't go right, they remember me because I have my name. Whereas, you know, someone like Allison Smith, who walks in and does a horrible job, walks out anonymous. I, of course, am like, oh, well, that was Clint's daughter. God, she was terrible. Oh, my God. And the next thing you know, it's like, you know, then it's hard to, I mean, you can't really go anonymous, especially in this business. And if I were going to be a computer salesman, it would be something totally different. But, you know, it's tough.
And then when you do have success and do that good audition and get the role, then there are the people that say, oh, sure, she's
right.
How do you deal with that?
I don't care what people say. You know, if that's what they're going to say, that's fine. I can't worry about that stuff. I never have, and I try not to. Occasionally, it's like, you know, and especially with this being my first kind of big film and me working with my dad, it's very difficult. And I'm going to have that whole nepotism thing and that whole, oh, he just gave her the role, and, oh, did he even make you audition? I mean, that's going to happen. And I just, you know, I know that I deserved it. I know I worked really hard. I know he thought I was right. His work means everything to him. He would never jeopardize that for anybody, not family, not anybody. I respect that. And that's why I did the film, because I know that he felt I was right for it, and so did I.
You know him better than anybody else we'll talk to this weekend. Which of his film roles do you think comes closest to the bone? Closest to what he's really like?
Well, it might be a bit of a combination. It's the last few films he's done have showed a side of him that I have never seen in his previous work. Bridges of Madison County and In the Line of Fire. He had a very vulnerable, sensitive quality to him that he never really had before. And I think that those both kind of show a side that I get to see more than, you know, when you're starting out and you do a certain thing and it works, you do that and you make that image. And that's what works and that's what sells tickets and that's what people want to see. But I think as he's gotten older and done more work and more mature and taken more risks and kind of picked more quirkier subjects, I find those two films kind of were, you know, really showed more of the, a little bit more of the person I know.
The Jazz Lover, which we got really same called Thanksgiving, but has
musical stuff. Yeah, definitely.
How did you prepare for this role? Did you go to Savannah like some of the others? Did you read the book? And how did the preparations affect your portrayal and what happened?
I read the book. You know, I started working with the dialect coach in the dialect. As soon as I got there, I met Nancy. Although, you know, I didn't incorporate too much of her because, you know, Mandy in the movie is really more of a compilation of several women than just her. Also, she's a love interest. So I didn't draw upon too much from her, but I went to Savannah and I didn't work for the first, I think it was week that I got there. I mean, I walked all over. I got to know the place. It became my backyard. Like, you know, it was like Carmel is to me. Where I go there, I know everyone. It's my territory. I went there and I made that my territory. And I got to know people and I just started talking to people. I started working on the accent. I found, you know, I just basically explored who she was, found out, you know, how her relationship was. I bonded with John in order to kind of create that chemistry, and we became very good friends, you know, and that was basically it, you know.
How much did the book play into that?
You know, obviously I kept that in mind, but it was so kind of, she was just kind of a character of, you know, more of a descriptive character in the book. I mean, like, whereas my character in the movie, I'm more involved with him, not only romantically, but just like, you know, I help him go, I take him to the morgue, and, you know, I kind of reveal stuff to him. So, yeah. So, the book wasn't, you know, like, tremendously helpful as far as that. I just basically did a lot of my own personal work, you know. The book obviously gave me some background and some interesting ideas and, you know, big hair. Big hair and makeup and lashes and the whole bit. So.
Was there a key phrase or key word that to get the accent down that you noticed?
Y'all. Y'all. I mean, y'all kind of just, that's what they all say. Y'all. Y'all okay? You know, it's very, just the way it is.
Everyone talks about how relaxed Clint's sets are, and you've been on there before. How does this one compare to his other sets for you, and what was it like?
It was basically very much like any other set I've been on. I mean, he has a lot of the same people. He just has a family kind of thing. It's very relaxed. Everyone knows each other, you know, and it's just everyone knows what their job is. There's no confusion. It's a well-oiled machine, you know. Everyone knows what their job is, what their place is. Everyone does their thing, and that's it.
When he's working on another, when he's working with another director, I think it's a typo. Is he comfortable referring to another director?
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, there's no problem with that. I mean, I think he takes direction just fine. You know, it's worked well. It works well with Wolfgang Peterson. You know, when he does get directed by other people, it seems to work out fine. He's not one of those people that has, you know, such an incredible ego that he can't take direction.
Talk about John Cusack a little bit.
He's tall. He's got dark hair. let's see. John. John is wonderful. You know, he's a really good guy. I couldn't have been more fortunate to have him as a co-star. I mean, not only was he become a very good friend, but he also was very helpful in making me feel very secure and very safe with the fact that, you know, that he's been acting for years. I'm basically beginning a career, and he knew that, and I knew that, and he was very supportive, and if I was having a hard time or anything was, if I was nervous or anything, he was very good to me and very supportive. also, I'm sure it was difficult for him because here he is playing, you know, love interest to the director's daughter. I'm sure that must have had a strange thing, you know, quality for him as well. But we just became very good friends, and we were in very tight communication about everything, and we had a lot of fun, you know. It was a really good time. It was very funny. I mean, I'm starting to get wrinkles from laughing, and just that picture in general. We had a ball.
Getting back to your two producing projects, what exactly are you going to do with Molly now?
The Misanthrope, I've been working on this for several years. A friend of mine did an adaptation of it.
Modern?
No, period.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It takes place in the Louis XIV mm-hmm. era. And basically, I've just been shopping it around and kind of getting feedback. I mean, I'm still working on refining the scripts. Basically, it's not going to be an easy one to sell because, you know, period pieces are not exactly what studios are just jumping out of their chairs to do, because they don't usually do that well and they cost a lot of money. But, you know, I've gotten good response with it. I think it's just a matter of getting talent, getting a great director involved.
It's still a great story.
It's a great story. And, you know, you could do it in a modern day time as well. I mean, you could. You could do it whereas, you know, someone was the head of a corporation and this person hates his job because of what he has to do. You know, I mean, it's just the whole thing of hating society and man for, you know, for all of, you know, the kind of dirty, awful things you have to do to get through life, but then also being madly in love with a woman who epitomizes everything you hate. I mean, it's very tortured. But I love it. I love the story. It was actually the first play I ever read when I first started. I mean, I'd read some Shakespeare and some stuff in school, but when I decided I wanted to be an actress and I started studying, I remember an ex-boyfriend of mine gave me that play and said, if you want to be an actress, start reading Molière and start reading Shakespeare and start getting, like, really into it. Don't just read it and go, get book report or something like that. And it was one of the first plays I read that I went, wow, what a great play.
You must have known at the outset that you would get some of the degree that, you know, that somebody was doing anything was going to get when they get into the business. What made you decide to become an actress?
I just basically, really, it's just my nature. You know, I've grown up with it. I've been around it all my life. It was very inevitable to me. It was like I kept resisting, but something was drawing me to it. You know, I love stories. I love being a storyteller. I love characters. I love getting into a character. I love finding out what makes things tick and what, you know, what's the driving force and, you know, what's the objective of something and going after that. I love everything about it. I love it as an art form. I love it as a form of expression. You know, I do other artistic things, but this just happens to be one of my favorites, you know. And it's also a way for me to use all the kind of, you know, I mean, I've had an interesting life for 25 years, and I've had a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, and it's a way for me to take everything that I've experienced, good and bad, and funnel it into something and use it each day. You know, working on it and putting all that experience and stuff to good use and having fun too. It's fun. Mm. Parts of it are hell, but there are parts of it that are extremely fun, you know, and I love going to work. I love that whole family. Like, I've been in rehearsals for this film I'm doing now, and it's great because there's a great cast, everyone is wonderful, and I look forward to seeing these people. I mean, you become like a family. I'm sure it's short-lived, mm-hmm. and sometimes you don't always keep in touch with these people, but it's just wonderful. I mean, you bond with people, and you know, you work on this thing, and it becomes like a baby, you know. And you all just, you know, collaborate, and I love that unity and collaboration. That's what I grew up with as well.
A lot of people who are the offspring of movie stars have great anecdotes about their from the childhood experience where they either visited dad or mom on the set or saw dad being killed in whatever happened to Baby Jane, or a very famous story. Anything bizarre memory from childhood about seeing dad work or seeing dad on film or TV or something? comes to mind? Letterman's going to ask you this, so you might as well think.
Tell
us. Tell us
those. Not really. I mean, you know, I can't think of anything that was, like, particularly funny or... It just, it always seemed very, like, that was just the way it was supposed to be.
How did you realize what Dad was doing for a living?
I didn't realize it. It just was there, you know. I just, that's my earliest memory.
But what was the first film that you saw?
The first film that I think I ever went on that I remember was probably, the first picture with the monkey. With the orangutan. Well, I mean, but it's not about him, it's about the monkey. I remember, like, being, like, 7 years old, and the monkey just grabbing me and kissing me on the face, and I was just like, ah! You know, horrified, because you're 7 years old, and you're being, you know, like, basically necked by an orangutan. But
you were kept away from the spaghetti westerns and the dirty hair.
Well, I wasn't born.
No, but I mean even later.
Yeah, I was on the set of some of the Dirty Harry films, and, you know, the later ones, like Deadpool and Sudden Impact. But, yeah, I mean, some of those I wasn't born on that watch. When I was, like, on the set of Unforgiven and The Line of Fire. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
What did Dad have to say about the tattoo?
Not much, you know. Kind of grimaced at me. You know, both my parents don't really associate tattoos with, you know, young, proper ladies, but that's okay. It's just body art, like jewelry, more permanent.
You said you have other artistic things that you...
Yeah, I paint. I love to paint, and I sing, and, you know, I love to do stuff like that. I write poetry.
No,
I have a model.
How do you like your father's model routine of Accenture?
Highly amusing. I was great. I mean, I laughed. I mean, anything that makes me laugh is good.
Okay. Great work, everybody.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, guys.